Today's episode of the Open Pantry podcast is brought to you by me, Sean from Open Pantry Consulting. Make sure if you're opening a restaurant or starting to scale your restaurant that you come and check out what I'm doing at openpantryconsulting.com. Everything around operations analysis, recruitment, or data analytics. Everything to get your restaurant, cafe, or bakery on the better side of this crisis. Let's keep going with the show. Guys, welcome to another podcast. But before we get into it, I really want to talk to you about Restoke, which is a revolutionary back of house automation platform, which is purpose built for hospitality and developed with one core belief in mind. That is that time is a business owner's most valuable asset and it should be reclaimed using tech and data. And you know how much we've been talking about that over the last few months since the crisis of COVID. Tech and data is so important for hospitality owners moving forward. The Restoke team have set out to make sure that your restaurant runs smoother with better operations and an easy to use setup and platform that's beneficial for both single site and multi-location organizations. At the end of the podcast, tune in for a second little bit of this episode and we'll talk about how you can get Restoke in your venue with a special subscription offer. But for now, let's get into the program. Welcome to another Open Pantry podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in for another episode. As this week goes on, we are going to talk to amazing people with inside the hospitality industry, talking about things that I call the unsexy things, but are the real important parts of the hospitality industry making them go. So next is Mark Sedweeks, who is the head of sales for My Guest List. And if you haven't heard of My Guest List, we're going to get into it right now. It's an amazing CRM database, which is basically helping you to increase revenue and profits. So fantastic to welcome Mark to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Fantastic to have you on, mate.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on, especially as I said in the intro, like the thing that the hospitality industry is doing much better at the moment is thinking about all the things which I call back of house operation systems that are really critical in this day and age and making sure that your hospitality venue is really firing on all cylinders, whether we've got a pandemic or not. So fantastic to have you on the show, but let's start out in how you started out in your career and then maybe how, you know, the journey of My Guest List and how it's been, how it's come to where it is now.
Yeah, thanks very much. Look, I started actually out in hospitality, front of house, like I suppose a lot of people that have found themselves in my position, you know, back of house now. I worked at a pub while I was actually studying hospitality management at university. So I worked my way in Melbourne, and the eastern suburbs, which was a cool little pub to work at. And sort of just initially it was a job I took over Christmas holidays when I finished year 12, and it was, you know, just working in the bistro, pouring beers for people, serving people plates of food and the like. And that quickly grew into, you know, working in all parts of the pub. So they had a gaming room, a sports bar as well. They had a bottle shop. So sort of, you know, experienced all facets of it. And eventually moved into a bit of management there as well, which was certainly interesting, but quite demanding. And as I was approaching the end of that third year of uni, I was offered a role at a technology company. I must say I sort of took it not really knowing what it was about, but I thought, oh, there's a salary and something to do straight out of university. And that was at a company called ResPack, who were one of the first, I suppose, computerized restaurant reservation systems anywhere in the world. And they'd started up as a company in 1983. ResPack was launched in 1994. So I was there in 2008 and was essentially just helping businesses who'd take on our product, get up and running, training, assisting them getting all going. I was doing a bit of traveling overseas, which was pretty cool because they had some contracts with some of the big hotel groups. And I suppose that evolved into a bit more of a sales role there and actually going out there and pitching. And it was an interesting time because while we were sort of first to market in Australia with doing online bookings and the like, there were other players coming into the scene as well, like Dimi now, who's, I suppose, TripAdvisor, and a few other competing products were coming into the hospitality space as well. So, and I guess through that as well, I started to see the value of with these other providers of actually collecting data and then owning data. And Damien and his team then sort of approached me and said, "Oh, we'd love you to come on board. We're really keen to sort of grow our product in the restaurant space here. And would you be interested in helping out?" So after 7 years with ResPak, I moved across to My Guest List. And that's where it sort of really evolved for me and helping those venues to, you know, integrate and pull their data together from their various systems. I mean, back then it was really just things like reservations, but now there's a range of things. There's online ordering, there's loyalty programs, there's Wi-Fi, there's, you know, businesses trying to get creative with how they collect data as well. And I suppose it's, you know, it's stuff that's been happening in other industries for a while, but I suppose relatively new for hospitality in this country. So that's sort of really where I've come from, you know, to where I am now with My Guest List.
Yeah. And what have you sort of seen happen in the last sort of 7 or 8 months? Like we're having this podcast in November. You know, it's been 7 or 8 months of this COVID situation happening. Like you're supporting like a lot of venues around the country. Like what have you seen happen to your clients over that period of time?
We've seen a lot of them get quite creative. So I suppose initially when we went into a lockdown and that was obviously unforeseen here, you know, very quickly venues are thinking, okay, how do we keep our offering that we're providing to diners in venue? How do we get that out to them, you know, at home? So I really liked the idea of businesses creating take-home packs and improving their takeaway offering. So rather than, and I've always been really skeptical of, you know, obviously a pizza travels well, you know, fish and chips is all right, but how do you get, you know, a nice steak home or that sort of stuff from some of those venues? So, you know, venues offering, you know, the ability to be able to drive those products out to you. Yes, you finish it off at home. I think that was really great. From our clients, we saw a lot of them, you know, use our ticketing platform to, I suppose, be a little bit creative, not selling a ticket, but people being able to do pre-ordering and that worked. And then obviously there were some other providers that were out there as well that have been really great in getting that online for those venues. And then I guess as well, like, you know, the value of their database became even more important for them because they're closed and obviously everyone knew they're closed, but what were they now doing? Were they still open? Was there a takeaway offering? Even the venues that weren't necessarily or didn't move to that takeaway still needed to communicate with their customers because at some point we were going to come out of lockdown and the last thing you needed to do was lose a bunch of customers because they forgot you. So that communication was really important. And we put something together as well. We have a, you know, massive number of clients that work with us, but we don't own the data, like the venues own it themselves. So we put together an initiative called Project Unity. So essentially what we did is we'd group up 5 or 6 venues sort of in similar geographical regions and said, hey, each of you put up a special offer for what you're doing for takeaway. We'll go group it together and then build it into an email campaign, which you can then each send out to your respective databases. So for a venue that had, you know, 10,000 people on a database, we go and find 5 others that had 10,000 and, you know, basically they're getting a reach of 60,000 when they were sending their campaigns out. And I guess that Project Unity concept came about that whole, you know, we're in it together. We're trying to help one another out there. And that was really great. We ran that in Melbourne and Sydney and Brisbane and had a number of venues take that up. And then look, I suppose that ran for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then I suppose sentiment changed and there was a bit of positivity around things are going to be opening up again, people, you know, venues moving back to, all right, well, how do we, you know, maximize diners in the venue? So again, coming from my reservations background, I was really pleased to see some venues start to, I suppose, make use of their table management systems and turning tables. I mean, when you can only fit 20 or 40 people in a venue that can normally have 150, you know, maximizing every seat became so important. So that was really great. But again, communication was important. You know, these are our sitting times. You know, make sure you get in early. You know, venues might release tables, you know, for their weekends, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in advance. So again, getting that message out to people through their database was really important. And again, back on our ticketing, there was venues using that as well, taking that prepayment, ensuring that we weren't going to have no-shows and the like too. And we also, you know, like everyone else, we put out a check-in app. And what we did a little bit differently there was we offered it for free. And I think a lot of people have asked us, well, what's the catch? And I mean, let's be honest, there's a little bit of a marketing initiative there as well. You can get to talk to a lot of businesses. But at the same time, we also felt that if we're tooling venues up with the right tools to be able to operate and stay open and collecting data for contact tracing purposes is paramount and getting on top of this virus, then giving something away for free does have a flow-on effect for us, because it means that, you know, venues don't panic, they don't want to cancel their subscriptions, they're not asking for discounts because they're not closed down. So the check-in app has been really great for us, and we've seen you know, thousands and thousands of pubs and restaurants and bars and the like take us on, and it's actually flown outside of hospitality a little bit as well, because a lot of businesses who frequent those venues have said, oh, actually, this is a really cool tool, I can use that. So it's been a great initiative, I think of our business to have that out there and you know, offer that to the venues as well.
Has it been a challenge, if you talk about the you know, the COVID tracing app for a second, has it been a challenge as a big business like you guys are, obviously looking after the whole of the country, to have, you know, different requirements in different states by different governments? Like, you know, I know that one government will need that data stored for over 50 days, where some will only need it stored for a couple of weeks. Like, it must be quite confusing for a brand like yourself.
It was, but I guess early on we found out quickly what those requirements were. And so every state but Queensland was 28 days on storing that data.
Yes.
Queensland was 56 days. What we did was when a venue actually signs up or a business signs up, they choose a time zone. And depending on the time zone that you select will then enable either the 56 days or the 28 days.
Yes.
And obviously Brisbane's now an hour behind as well. So from actually tracking the date and time, that's important anyway to make sure you selected Brisbane. So that we've been able to stay on top of. And then periodically we're reviewing what comes out from the governments as well around those data requirements and how long you can keep the data for. The one thing that was a little bit of a challenge was all of the governments stated that, you know, obviously the data can only be used for contact tracing purposes. But if you had a dedicated opt-in box for marketing, you could keep that data longer, but it had to be obviously unticked. The diner had the choice, or the person checking in had the choice whether they ticked it. Now, Queensland actually, we had the Queensland police contact to say, you can't do that here. We're not interpreting it that way. So we're obviously disappointed on behalf of our clients, but we were able to switch it off. And I guess that was something that we're ensuring that businesses are following what the requirements are. And you know, I guess if you're doing it by pen and paper or using, you know, Google Forms or anything like that, it means you're not necessarily going to stay on top of that. So we've been able to be on top of that on behalf of the venues. Obviously, there's some venues and groups up there that are really disappointed they can't do that. But we've got a little bit creative. You know, it takes them to a screen. Once the diner checks in, they've got the screen with the green tick, you know, thanks for checking in. We can put a banner ad on there, or we can put something on there that says, you know, if you do want to join our mailing list, or you want to enter a competition or whatever, but they're allowed to do that, because it's very much separate to the whole check-in process. You have to then physically click on something, loads up a page, you can provide your details. So we're trying to help venues out where we can with that sort of stuff, particularly in Queensland.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm curious what the Queensland government was thinking there. They must have been thinking, oh, it's kind of like when you read a document or an update of something on your app or something like of your own phone, and then you're going to tick everything because you don't want to see the terms and conditions, and you're not going to realize it. That's a bit of
correct. And it was the thing is it was more the Queensland police saying this is how we're interpreting it, and we had a few conversations with them, but ultimately, look, we don't own the data, so and we went into bat for the venues, but that was their ruling, and we said, yeah, okay, well, let's protect the venues. The last thing we need is a venue to get, you know, in trouble. And then they come to us and they say, well, why didn't you look after us? So we said, you know, let's just switch it off. It's easier. And look, I know there's some other platforms out there that have neglected that, and that's fine. But I guess we're just trying to protect ourselves and all of our clients as well. So, yes. And look, data integrity is really important to us at the end of the day. I mean, that is our core business. So, you know, the last thing we need is to be thrown in the bucket of a cowboy with this sort of stuff. So that's why we made that decision. Yep.
Yeah, totally agree. Were you guys, you obviously would have been pretty excited the positive, I'd imagine, coming out of that lockdown period, and people and owners and managers really focusing on their CRM databases and how they can communicate with their customers. Do you think that's something that sort of, you know, lived on in other states? I know we've just come out of lockdown here in Melbourne where we both reside, but like in states like New South Wales and Queensland and Perth and stuff, like, do you find your clients are much more considerate of their actual CRM database and how they can utilize that to, you know, to gain more sales?
100%. And I think they've really understood the importance of being able to segment the data as well. So I think from our point of view, we've always been pushing the message that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. Stop, you know, stop just blasting stuff out to your database just because you've got the name in an email. It doesn't give you the right to do that. Yeah. You know, if there's somebody who dines, send them stuff about dining. If there's somebody who only does takeaway, send them stuff about takeaway. Yeah, it might be crossover, that's fine, but we can see that data. We can, you know, I suppose provide them with the tools to maximize that. So that's been really important. But even in, I've certainly had conversations with venues in the other states that weren't locked down. And this is since they came out of their first lockdown saying, we need to get a CRM in order. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. I mean, while COVID's around, I guess at any point, any market could go down with a lockdown and they're going to have to move back to takeaway. So they're saying now's the time for us to get our data together. We want to, you know, we've got a reservations system. We've been doing online ordering now. We've got this data we can start using. We want to start using it so that, you know, we've almost got an insurance policy in place if something does happen again in the future. And it's quite possible it will. I mean, we're seeing what's happening in Europe at the moment, gone into winter. UK's locked down, France, they're all locked down again. They'll most likely be in longer lockdowns than they were the first time as well. We know that from experience down here. So, you know, if a vaccine doesn't come into play by sort of March, April next year, you know, some markets may be in that situation where they do. So, you know, as I said, it's an insurance policy, get ahead. Yeah.
Do you think that connection that you were talking about as well, like with Project Unity and, you know, 5 to 6 venues getting together and doing a combined sort of mailing list, like, do you think that Unity will stay within venues? Do you think that they won't be as competitive anymore, and they'll start to sort of do, you know, collective kind of marketing decisions?
I suppose I'd like to think so. Whether that's the case, I don't know. I suppose early on, what was really great about that is that we spearheaded it. So it wasn't like we put the 5 venues or 6 venues in contact with one another. We told them who they'd be partnered with. Okay. And then we said, put forward your offer. And then we went to put together the campaign. So we basically did the work for them. But, and then we said to them, you know what, it'd be great if you could share it on your social media channels and, you know, through LinkedIn and all that sort of stuff as well. Because I think it ultimately posts them in a pretty good light. You know, we are working with venues. I mean, I've always been a big fan of businesses, you know, doing joint ventures anyway. I mean, whether it's, you know, the little restaurant in Bourne, you know, saying, well, we'll partner up, not necessarily with another restaurant or hospitality, but another business to say, well, what can we do together to help one another out and that sort of stuff. I think that word of mouth marketing is obviously, you know, still works these days, and that's a good way to do it. I think though that there's been, I mean, Shane Delly has got his Providor now, which I really like, and that's, you know, again, that take home concept's been really great. And I guess that's probably creating a bit of a community of, you know, these are venues that are on Providor and do that sort of stuff. So I think with initiatives like that, and I assume Shane's got plans to keep that sort of long term, then that's going to, I think, mean that these venues do not necessarily always see themselves as competing for the same person. That there is an opportunity, and there's enough of an audience to go around as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think, Mark, if I can ask you, like, do you think you have an understanding of who's going to be, like, venue-wise, who's going to be hit hardest by this crisis? Like, do you think there is going to be a difference in different states as well? Like, I'm hearing from people I speak to in Perth or people I speak to in Brisbane, especially, like, it just feels like almost COVID didn't exist at some point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's very different, obviously, what we lived down here in Victoria, but...
Yep.
You know, do you have an understanding of sort of where the market's going to sit?
I think I was talking to somebody the other day and they put forward a really, I suppose, good thought. They're involved in organising visas for a lot of the international students that come in and then go off and work in hospitality. Yes. Now, obviously, there's been no international students coming into Australia since February or March, whatever it's been. And you know, they're still unsure when that'll open up to the rest of the world. I mean, if their borders stay shut, well, then that's not happening. So, and he was suggesting that about a third of those students that come in take jobs in hospitality. So I think the biggest challenge for hospitality is going to be getting staff, and then obviously the flow, and it's always been an issue of good staff. So I think what we're starting to see is businesses and venues in particular saying, all right, I've got potentially limitations on how many staff I can have because they're just not available.
Yes.
I've got to make sure that they're focused on high value tasks. Mm-hmm. So if I can use technology to automate anything, or I can make my life easier, you know, simple, like this is what we used to sell when I was with the reservations. It's like, why pay somebody to stand there and answer the phone for 8 hours a day from 9 to 5 when you could outsource it to the internet? I think businesses are really seeing that now. And then I suppose, you know, with what we offer, with the ability to help collate data automatically, so you're not having to export and import into a MailChimp and that sort of stuff. Like, let's have it all tied together so it's all sticky. Set up some marketing automation, you know, channels to push stuff out, you know, in the lead up to people's birthdays or win backs, all that sort of stuff. So the online ordering is massive now. I mean, you know, picking up the phone and calling is, you know, seems like, why would I do that anymore? I can go to an app, or I can, you know, go to their website and order. I think that's where the industry is going to be heading. I mean, it was always going there anyway, but it's funny, right at the start of the year, that was my line with my team, was like, it's bloody 2020. Like, why are we doing stuff that a computer can do? You know, we don't mail letters to people anymore. I mean, it's the oldest one, but like, you know, you do it, but you email because it's efficient, it's quick, and you can get a response straight away, all those sorts of things. So I think that, you know, we're a bit slow in hospitality sometimes to pick up on those trends, but that's certainly what we're seeing out there now, which is really great.
It's a really good point, though. Do you have any insight on why we are slow to pick up those trends? Because I feel like, as you just said, we've been hit with two different things in what you just said, in that force into technology. So the first being lockdown, obviously into, you know, delivery, into pickup, into contactless, all these different things that into retail products for some venues and that kind of stuff. Stuff that restaurants did not want to touch at certain levels.
Yep.
And now having the fact that it's so hard to recruit team now because we've got a great majority of venues back, which is fantastic news when we were talking about potentially 50% closure 6 months ago. But because we've lost a lot of international students, especially, we don't have enough people to work in the industry. So therefore it's going to get to automation with things like ordering and QR codes.
Correct.
So therefore in 2021, we're going to be where we should have been sort of 3 years ago, and where a lot of other industries were 10 years ago. Like, do you have an understanding why it's just taking us so long to kick this can down the road a bit, Mark?
I think it's education, to be honest. And I think a lot of the big groups and, you know, whether restaurant groups, pub groups and that sort of stuff, they've got resources to, you know, hire staff, you know, marketing teams, for instance, who will go out and research the best CRMs and how do we use their data and that sort of stuff. Yes. They understand it. But those owner-operator businesses, we know they're doing, you know, 20-hour days type things. So, and they already feel like they're slammed with having to do so much. They jump in the kitchen because, the guy didn't come in or whatever it is. So for them to then go and educate themselves that, you know, that there could be a better way to do this, it's probably the same with a lot of people in their personal lives. Like, you could be doing so much better personally, but you've actually got to feel like you could give yourself that time to then go and find out whatever it is you need to maybe learn or put in.
So
I think that's it. And obviously, look, the online ordering guys, you know, COVID, I've joked about it with some friends, like, you know, if COVID's a conspiracy, find out the businesses that have, you know, taken advantage of it. And I was joking with the guys at Hungry the other day. I was like, oh, no, you guys are definitely behind COVID. You know, it's not the 5G towers, it's Hungry and Mr. Yum and you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's at the end of the day, I think it's forced them to have to do stuff. And like I was saying before, you know, these venues in Sydney and Brisbane and Perth that have been reaching out saying, geez, we just need something, you know, we need to get on top of our data, because if something does happen, we need to be, you know, across it and able to use that. So I think it's just, it's education and it's time. So, and there's a lot of providers out there, a lot of tech providers now, and it probably is quite overwhelming for a lot of businesses too. I mean, as I said, when I was at ResPak, we were the only ones. 2008, 2010, Dimi hit the market. You know, 2 years later, Quandu came in. There was one called Restolo out of Spain that came in for 6 months and then left. And then, you know, now Bookit started up, and, you know, there's, and that's just the reservation side of things. And then we're not a massive market either. So, you know, compared to say a US or the UK or parts of Europe. So, it's possibly just overwhelming. And then you sort of just get into the, this is what I do, this is what I've always been doing, why do I need to do anything different? And
I don't want to change.
That's where we end up. So, but as our lines of development takes a crisis. And, you know, I've definitely picked up businesses who I've spoken to on and off for the 6 years I've been with my guest list that suddenly went, now we're ready. We need to do something. So
that's, yeah, right.
That's where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah. The line of sand was drawn and all of a sudden they'll make a decision.
That's it. Takes a crisis. Yep.
Two more questions before I let you go, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if, because you're right, there are a couple of players in this space, but I've always respected what you guys do. Like, I think the service angle, especially of what you guys do and just how you communicate to the industry has always been a really big blessing of what the brand does. Is there a feature of the product or what you guys do as a brand that a lot of customers maybe not might not think of first off when they start to do their benchmarking against other, you know, CRM platforms or service companies like yourself that you think is freaking cool?
I think first of all, having integration with the key Australian providers. Mm. So there's lots of email systems and CRMs out there that will integrate with all the companies that are out of Silicon Valley and over in the US and wherever it might be. But to have integrations with, you know, the Australian POS providers and the Australian reservation providers, we've got that. We keep on top of them. They're up to date. They're given all the data that a venue would want to use to be able to target their customers.
Yes.
And the other side of it is the customer service side. So when somebody works with us, it isn't just, here's the keys, you know, to the system, username and password, off you go, good luck. You can send us an email whenever you'd like. Mm. Yeah, that's it. And we'll get back to you in 72 hours.
Yes.
You can pick up the phone, you can talk to us. We're in Melbourne, so we're in a favourable time zone for the country. Mm. You can lean on us for advice. Yeah, even it talks about those owner-operator businesses that don't have dedicated marketing person in charge. When using the marketing person is the functions or the reservations manager who has sort of been tasked with that job because the owner says, oh, well, you use Facebook, you know, you'd be good at that.
Yeah, you'd be good.
But they're also caught in their own silo of how they do things. So it's great they can pick up the phone, talk to an account manager and go, what do other venues do? Like, we're looking to, you know, run this event on New Year's or we're trying to relaunch something or whatever it might be. What have other venues done? Now, we're not going to go away and say, oh, you know, venue X, Y, and Z did this and they got these results.
Yes.
That wouldn't be fair to share the results. But to go, this works well, or more importantly, stay away from this or avoid these pitfalls in whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think that service is really important. And, I mean, we will get back to people within the day as well. And, you know, even if we don't have a direct answer for them now, they'll hear from us. They know we've got their support query or whatever it is that they need. So I think that's what our customers here really like is that they can talk to us as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we listen to them. The product ultimately gets developed based on feedback from venues and what they're after and what they need. Like, yeah, there are things that we'll throw in there that they'd even think of and go, great, this is fantastic. You know, we can do this automation or now use this data or whatever it is. But usually it's coming from feedback from our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. The last question I'm asking at the moment before I let you go, if that's okay,
is
what are you looking forward to getting back to that you can't do at the moment? That's like a COVID thing that you're really excited about before COVID happened that you can't do at the moment that you can't wait to get back to, Mark?
Is it personally or as a business?
Oh, either. That's good. Never had anyone ask me that before. Personally is the usual response I get.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, personally, I think... it was getting back to the gym. I mean, the online classes are great. And,
yes.
You know, the second time around, they gave us a weight and that was awesome. But, you know, it did get to a point in the, you know, week 12 of week 16 that you're just like, yeah, I'd kind of like to get back in and maybe socialize a bit and use something more than my 12 kilo dumbbell. That'd be nice. So, so that was personally, I've got a little 1-year-old actually. So, you know, it wasn't like it was, get back out to the pub every weekend or go clubbing or anything like that. So, but it's nice to take him to the playground now and that sort of stuff. So that's been good. But from a business point of view, I think what we've really been looking forward to, and I guess we've been working on it through the lockdown, was helping venues get away from playing defensive. So rather than just reacting to everything, it's like, let's get proactive. You know, like I spoke about before, that insurance policy, make sure you're on top of your data, you've got the right systems in place. Because what I did notice when we went into second lockdown here, there wasn't the panic amongst the venues. And there wasn't a panic because they already had their online ordering system set up. They knew what they were doing. They, you know, knew how to now use SMS as a way to communicate. They, you know, just had things in place from that first lockdown that they'd learned. And I think that's what we're really trying to encourage venues to do is stop being on the defense. Like let's move more to an offensive pitch position where we're able to be on top of things and be ahead rather than constantly chasing our tails.
Yeah, let's be strategic more than anything. I think it's correct. A fabulous thing that was coming out of the situation, as bad as it is.
Mark,
thanks so much for joining me. What's the best way that people can find out about the amazing brand and contact you?
Yeah, look, probably our website to start with, myguestlist.com or .com.au, take you to the same way. You can inquire through the contact section on the website, or you can drop me an email directly, Mark with a K, M-A-R-K, at myguestlist.com. Happy to have a chat with you as well. That'd be the best way.
Fantastic. Mark from My Guest List, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Much appreciated.
All right, guys, I hope you really enjoyed that episode of the Open Pantry podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Now, as I was hinting at the start of the podcast, we were talking about Restoke, which is a fantastic back of house automation platform based here in Melbourne. Just fantastic piece of tech that's been developed last year. It's all about automating and delegating procedures and compliance, ordering and inventory management, prep runs, all those things at the back of the house, which we don't love to talk about, but we know as hospitality owners that are so, so critical to make sure that our venues run successfully. And on top of that, it has a live food costing system, which is just fantastic. I've seen it in person. Now, it's all about giving you the time to actually run your business much more effectively and see all these things live in your business when you're not there. So I know that's going to be really critically important as we rebuild this industry. Now, for the Open Pantry listeners, you're actually able to get 1 month free subscription on top of a normal 14 days trial. So that's about 6 weeks to use this platform and figure out if you actually like it. I know you actually will. So all you have to do is go to restoke.ai/theopenpantry. So that's restoke.ai/theopenpantry. Super easy. Check it out. You'll see everything you need to know about the platform itself. I know you're going to love it. And let me know what you think as well. This is a fantastic product. I don't talk about products very much on the show, and these guys are just amazing what they're doing right now. So that's why I want to support them. So check it out and see what you think. And I'll talk to you on the next podcast.